Hello, my name is Bart Winkler. Good to be with you. It's the appropriately named Bart Winkler Show. Connor Armstrong alongside with us in for Carlos. Tonight we have Marco Belletti on the updates as well. And we've got the Thunder with a 1-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. The way this thing started, it was pretty gritty. The Timberwolves, an 8-0 quick lead, were winning at the end of the first quarter 23-20. Thought this could be low scoring, but the Thunder, who scored 44 points in the first half, then put up 70 in the second to win 114-88. And that third quarter is where they spread things out a little bit with a 32-18 advantage and then poured it on towards the end. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 31 points in this game, 9 assists, 5 boards. Jalen Williams with 19. Chet Holmgren took a while before he scored, but he chipped in 15. And some pretty steady contributions from a few guys off the bench. The Thunder beating the Timberwolves, who were led by Julius Randle, with 28 points. Edwards had 18. He was 5 of 13 shooting. Nobody else had double digits for Minnesota. So it did look at first like, okay, we could be in for a series that's going to be difficult. A little more physicality from the Thunder facing the Timberwolves. A little more physicality from the Timberwolves, I should say, than what they saw from the Nuggets overall. But they were able to withstand it and then get a big win here. Game one against the Nuggets, that was when they were up like 3 points consistently for 5 minutes, and then they were not able to close out the game. They were trying to foul up three, and they didn't execute that. Even if it's a strategy that you would agree with, the execution was poor and lacking, and some bad decisions made in that final minute. Chet Holmgren missed a couple of free throws, and you thought, okay, they maybe let this one get away. They should be good enough to withstand and come back in this series, which eventually they were, but it took 7 games. They don't want to do that again. So, you know, you kind of feel each other out in that first half, and then they turned it on here in the second. The Thunder are the best team remaining. They are the best team left. It's just a matter of will they be able to win, as I think they should. I'm eager to see if they advance, how a series goes against the Knicks or Pacers. But I also thought coming in that the Timberwolves were maybe the second best team out of everybody. And there's some nights where the Timberwolves will come out and look like, oh my God, this team is going to win the championship. And then there's some nights where they look completely devoid of that even being like a possibility. Timberwolves were the team that I really, really got into last year. I thought, okay, early on, I thought they would beat the Suns. They were 3, Suns were 6. They swept them. I threw down $20, but I made a bet that they would win the championship. Then they beat the Nuggets, and that was an upset. That went 7. The Nuggets were the 2 seed. And then I was really riding high on them, but they got to the conference finals and lost in 5 to the Dallas Mavericks, who then went to the finals and then, of course, traded Luka. The Timberwolves in that series won game 4. They staved off elimination, won game 4. Hopefully it doesn't take Minnesota for their sake that long before they win a game. I thought if they were going to win a game in Oklahoma City, and there's still, you know, game 2 is coming up. It's going to be on Wednesday. You got to win 4 of these. Sometimes, though, when you watch the NBA and when the home team wins as dominantly as they do in game 1, you start to think to yourself, oh, okay, well, they're going to move on and win. Now, the Timberwolves can absolutely win on Wednesday. And looking at some of the press conference videos, I'm watching the post-game show stuff, yeah, everybody seems loose up at the podium. At least the players do. Anthony Edwards seems loose enough. He was joking around, you know. I don't think that they think it's over. They know it's not over. And I shouldn't even be entertaining the idea that it could be over. When you see the home team as dominant as they were, you start to think, okay, well, where is the chance for Minnesota? And I keep going back to this game could have been the one that they stole because the Thunder were on short rest. They just played Sunday afternoon, and then they had to play again here tonight. Minnesota's had a few more days off. I think if the Nuggets had won Game 7, Minnesota would have gone into Denver and won. Denver was like falling apart. And if they would have somehow had enough energy to win that game, they would need a few more days. But the Thunder, a younger team, not needing all those days to recoup, and maybe them playing just a couple of days ago keeps them in a rhythm. They're going to be on an every other day schedule here now, so they're not going to have a bunch of rest and time to catch up other than their typical off days. There was a good article on NBA.com written by Sean Powell. Just one word to describe each of the teams that were remaining. One word to describe each of the four teams in the NBA. And for the Thunder, he chose restless, as in, I guess, young and the restless. What we've thought for a long time in basketball is that if you're a young team, you need to wait your turn. You need to go through it. You need to go through it before you're deserving. You need to suffer. You need to pay your dues. We think that way because of Michael Jordan. All those times running into Detroit before finally vanquishing the demon, getting past, and then winning the six NBA championships that he won. That's why we think that way, is because we romanticize every part of it with Michael Jordan. I'm sure if sports radio was as prevalent as it is now back then, there would be a lot of people and a lot of topics about how Michael Jordan can't get it done in the playoffs. And maybe there were articles written and conversations had, but now we look back at it poetically. Oh, he struggled, and then he earned, and the Bulls, they would have been getting fried and grilled way back then. This team won 68 games. And a year ago, they were also the number one seed, but they fell at the hands of the Dallas Mavericks in six. And so maybe that was a little bit of, you know, they went through it then. Adding Isaiah Hartenstein in the offseason, the rest of their team relatively unchanged. You know, they picked up Caruso when they did. So they are a team that I think can do it. The talent should be able to do it. It's just going to be, are they going to run into bad decisions? Is the moment going to get too big? I don't think there's a lot of reasons to think this specific team is going to fall to that. I think we just think, oh, a young team, they're going to run into some trouble. And because they lost game one, like I don't think that needed to go seven, that series against the Nuggets. But you also had a superhuman effort from Nikola Jokic. It was that MVP battle between the likely one and two there to win the award. So some credit has to be given to Denver, but they also probably should have lost game one to the Thunder, and then maybe that series gets wrapped up a little bit sooner. So one word to describe the Thunder, according to this article, restless. For the Timberwolves, hot. This was a team that at the end of February was fighting for a playoff spot. They were 32-29. They were in like play-in territory. And then, since March 1st, they went 25-6. This was only their fourth loss, playoffs or regular season, since March 28. Julius Randle is playing better now than he was in the regular season, and he's healthy. Anthony Edwards, of course, is a playoff monster, vanquishing legends along the way. So they are hot, but this was a game where they did drop. And now you wonder, okay, what are we going to get out of the Minnesota Timberwolves here in this series? That's why, because of how well they've played, because of how good they've been, it's hard to think, oh, okay, this is the Thunder's got this one. Game two is going to be massive. I don't think the Timberwolves necessarily need to win it to win the series. I don't think if the Thunder go up 2-0, they've won both their games at home, I don't think it's over. But I do think that the Timberwolves need a better effort. They need to show us that they can hang with the Thunder. After one game in a vacuum, in this bubble, the Thunder tonight looked worlds better than the Timberwolves. So they need to at least show maybe us, maybe themselves. And I don't think they have any worry. I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll be just fine. They had the Timberwolves down at halftime. It's not like they got blown out of the building from the jump. The Eastern Conference Finals will start on Wednesday. The one word used for the Knicks, thirsty. And the one word used at NBA.com, the article written by Sean Powell for the Pacers, plucky. So the Knicks, thirsty, yes. They have not won a championship since 1973. They have not been to the Eastern Conference Finals since, well, in 25 years. The city is in love with this team. You see it afterwards. There's a palpable energy throughout the town. This is one of those weird things, too, where you can, like, the whole, I feel like the whole country can kind of feel like New York coming around on the Knicks. It's better when the Knicks are good. It just is. They're one of those teams. It's better when they are good. The Indiana Pacers. Yeah. The Indiana Pacers, it pains me to say it, but I can totally see them raising the Larry O'Brien. One thing that they have been doing excellently, if that's a word, they have been answering the other team's runs, answering their punches, stopping the momentum in the series with the Bucks. They were great at it. And in the series with the Cavs, they did it well too, where when the other team would get a run, I almost for a second forgot who the Pacers played. That's why I was stopping. And I couldn't for the life of me. So sorry to Cleveland. What a forgettable season that ended up being. But when the other team comes on a run, Pacers were always there to stop it. Whether it's Tyrese Halliburton getting a free entry to the basket, as many teams have allowed him to do, or a guy like Andrew Nembhard knocking down a three, or Obi Toppin with a putback dunk. It's like, what the hell? You can't barge through these guys. It's hard to come back on Indiana because they always find ways to kill your momentum. So I think plucky is a good one. The Knicks-Pacers rivalry secretly has been one of the better rivalries over the years in the NBA. It's just they haven't played in a while. All time, it's pretty close between the two teams. 198 regular season games they've played. The Knicks own a 102-96 advantage. But the playoffs are when it's pretty juicy. They've matched up 9 times in the playoffs. Overall, the Pacers have won 5 of the 9. And this is going to be their 4th clash in the Eastern Conference Finals, with New York having won 2 of the 3. In 93, they met in the first round, Knicks in 4. In 94, they met in the Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks in 7. This was a series that had Reggie Miller's 25-point fourth quarter in Game 5, including 8 points in 9 seconds, where he hit the 3, got the steal, and another one. But then in Game 7, a big putback slam from Patrick Ewing, and the Knicks were able to win that series. Pacers, 95, semis, 1-7. They played again in 98. Pacers in 5 in the East semis. 99, Knicks in 6 in the East Finals. 2000, Pacers in 6 in the East Finals. 3 straight years playing each other 2 separate times in the playoffs. 2013, we got a little, hey, remember these guys? Pacers in 6 in the East semis. And now we're back on, hey, is this going to be a yearly thing? Is this going to be part of a trilogy again? Pacers won last year in 7. That was a series where the Knicks were shorthanded. And this is why I keep grinding on the Pacers, is because every team they beat has had to deal with injuries. OG Anunoby was hurt in that series. Jalen Brunson was hurt in that series. Julius Randle was hurt in that series when he was there. Same with Bogdan Bogdanovic. Mitchell Robinson was hurt in that series. So the Pacers beat up on like a sort of reserve Knicks squad. But they also, like, they didn't give the Knicks room because they shot 67% from the field in that series. There's something to them. Something to them. Plucky. That's a great word. So we've got one game down in the Western Conference Finals. We'll see game one in the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday night. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll hear from players and coaches with the Thunder, with the Wolves, next hour. Coming up, we'll have our weekly rendition of Call or Fold, which will be executed by the delightful Connor Armstrong. That is coming up next here on the Bart Winkler Show. It's time for Call or Fold. Carlos Ortiz not doing the dealing tonight. Connor Armstrong will have the privileges, looking good as the pit boss. Five questions, five chances to call or fold. The other sound effect we have is raise, but Carlos always gets mad that I never raise. That's only if I'm very, very confident. I also forget that that's an option. So anyway, without further ado, Connor Armstrong. Connor.
All right, Bart, let's start off here. As last year, Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves got bounced by the Dallas Mavericks, halting any face of the league conversation, but credit Minnesota for getting back to the conference finals. Oklahoma City has been the best team in the league all season, but needed seven games to knock off a clearly gassed Nugget squad. We've seen in sports that sometimes young teams need to lose so they can learn how to win. So call or fold, the Timberwolves should have been favored over the Thunder.
Well, this is, I believe Carlos Ortiz wrote this one at 4 in the afternoon prior to the result we saw tonight. So I am going to say fold. No, the right team was favored. I think the Thunder were maybe favored a little higher than I thought they would be. I think it was maybe minus 330 or something. I glanced at it. I didn't really spend too much time on it. But I don't think they should have been favored. I think the Timberwolves, they did beat the Warriors. Steph Curry was hurt.
Right.
Steph Curry was hurt. That was a big part of it. I kind of believe that the Warriors would have won that series if Steph Curry was fully healthy. And the Thunder, like I said earlier, I don't think they should have taken seven, Connor, to beat the Nuggets, but they got the win. That's all that matters. And I don't want to read too much into tonight, but like I said, when you're the top seed and you win by 30 points at home in game one, it does seem like, okay, what kind of series are we going to be in store for here?
Exactly right. Yeah. I mean, that, definitely agree that they should be favored 100%. But moving to the East now, as there's a Pacers fan by the name of Hans Perez who went viral, but for the wrong reasons. Perez was whacked by bags of garbage and heckled for wearing a Tyrese Halliburton jersey in New York. Pair this with the many videos of Knicks fans crowding 7th Ave, climbing on the street on street signs, and running up on Brian Windhorst after the game the other night after the clinching win over the Celtics. So, Bart, call or fold. The Knicks fans should act like they've been here before.
That's... Overall, I'm going to fold on that. But we should dial it back a little bit.
Yes.
I think that when they win and you want to hang outside MSG all night, that's fine. You want to climb a street pole or dance atop a billboard? I don't know how you're getting down. But that's fine. You know, this is work hard, play hard. I'm fine with that. As long as we're not harming people.
Yes.
Let's not harm people. The Windhorst thing is funny because he seems bothered that the Knicks won and not the Celtics. But we don't need to be throwing stuff at him. I think they should celebrate. I think they should be joyous. I think they should have fun, but we don't need to be Harmon. Anytime you go on the road and you're a visiting fan, or if you wear, I don't ever think that somebody wearing the other team's jersey or shirt or hat at the road stadium should ever feel like they might be in physical harm.
Right.
You know, the reputation that, like, the Philadelphia Eagles fans have gotten over the years, or, the Raiders and Chargers used to have unfriendly exchanges in parking lots when they played in San Diego and Oakland. We're fans of different teams. We don't like it. You got to keep it in check. You know, flooding alcohol through everyone's body doesn't help, I'm sure, but
not at all.
They don't need to act like they've been there before, but they need to have a little more, like, let's not hurt anybody.
Right, right. As a Knick fan myself, I'm not this way, but I do understand it because the team hasn't been here in nearly three decades, so I get the whole celebrating part, but yeah, definitely don't hurt other people.
How are you feeling about the series coming up?
I feel good. As we said earlier, you know, the Knicks took the Pacers to seven games last year with a really banged up team, and they got better by adding Karl-Anthony Towns to the mix, and I'm excited for the game tomorrow night for sure.
Yeah, it should be good. I can't wait for that one. I wish I wasn't as into it as I am, but I strongly, strongly, strongly dislike. Although, how many stronglies can you put in front of a dislike before that actually is a hate? Why don't I just say I hate the Pacers? I hate the Pacers. Yeah, sorry.
And we have Reggie Miller on the call for the entire series.
That is something. That is quite something. My official prediction would be Knicks in seven.
I agree. 100%.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the TJ McConnell 30-point game. I know it's coming.
Yeah.
But moving on to the NFL. So since high school, Ashton Jeanty has had the same pre-snap stance, and it's helped him become the Heisman runner-up. And he got drafted in the first round this year, number 6 overall, by the Vegas Raiders. Some people have called his stance the Michael Myers, and while it killed in college, new Raider OC Chip Kelly wants him to change it. Jeanty said he has not given up on his trademark stance, but is working with the team to get better. So, call or fold, the Raiders are going to break Ashton Jeanty.
I'll fold on another one. I don't think they're going to break him, but it is weird. If you look at the stance, he just stands there. He doesn't he's not standing like you would expect a running back to stand. Also, I don't know that it can't make that much of a difference.
No.
And he was a monster last year. It's not like, I talk a lot about when Aaron Rodgers first got into the league. The Aaron Rodgers you see now, if you go back and look how he threw the football back then, it was all, the arm was way up high. It was at a weird angle. He would have never been the quarterback that he was if he continued to throw like that. So right. He did need to work on it. He did need to change. This is just, it doesn't seem like it would make that big of an impact. Maybe it's just, I don't know. It seems more like a Chip Kelly thing than a Raiders thing.
But yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know if they, do you think if they talked about him or that with him in like the pre-draft process or anything, like he has any idea that they were going to change that up on him?
It's something that you talk about, but it's not anything.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm trying to think of a good example, but like sometimes with interviews, when I interview someone, if I'm doing 15 minutes, you know, on a team, I'll ask them a question that is nothing, but there's so few other questions to ask them that we waste everyone's time with this 3-minute Q&A about the most mundane topic involving the team.
Right.
And I think that must be the same. Like, it's something that's different, so it gets brought up, and it's not a big deal, but it is different. So, yeah, it probably got brought up, and now they're changing it.
Well, there we go. Well, moving from Vegas to Tennessee, where through phase 2 of the Titans offseason activities, Head coach Brian Callahan has not named a starting quarterback. The number one overall pick, Cam Ward, and incumbent starter Will Levis have been splitting reps evenly in the offseason program. Callahan said, "It's premature to name Ward the starter because there's a lot of work that has to be done over the next 3 months. So call or fold, Brian Callahan is just wasting time by not naming Cam Ward the starter now."
All right, let's see how many chips we got. We're calling that one. What does it help to not? Everybody knows he's the starter. What, are you going to start Will Levis all of a sudden? He's going to win this job. It's the number one quarterback. It's the number one pick. Y'all know you're going to take him. He's starting. He's going to be the starter. It's just a weird coach thing to. I don't know. Nothing. Again, this is another. Nothing's going to happen. Cam Ward's not going to get lazy. He's not going to work not hard going into camp. If anything, it might motivate Will Levis, or it does the opposite and he pouts. Okay, well, then get off the team. Cam Ward's the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. It's very apparent. If you're asked a question, you don't have to, like, fly a plane and put a banner on it that says Cam Ward's number one, but
yeah.
If somebody asked you, yeah, Cam Ward's the number one starter or quarterback. We all know it. Why hide from it? It's just unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that we'll bet. That this will be over by the beginning of training camp, as it honestly should be over now.
Or maybe the next time he's asked the question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And from Tennessee, we go to San Francisco, as the 49ers have taken care of their big offseason questions. San Francisco and four-time Pro Bowl linebacker Fred Warner have agreed to a three-year, $63 million contract extension. This comes off the heels of new contracts to Brock Purdy and George Kittle. Brock Purdy, who essentially bailed the Niners out for picking Trey Lance. The Niners get so much praise for their roster building and systems, but call or fold, the Niners are luckier than any other team in the National Football League.
I will fold. I mean, the answer's almost got to be the Chiefs. But I love the spirit of the question, because we are not blind or oblivious to what goes on in this National Football League with the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
They may not be luckier than any team, but they do get a softer touch from the media than any other team.
Definitely.
Very Boston Celtic-y to me. Like, we should be talking about, hey, Jaylen Brown, should the Celtics move on from him? Tatum's hurt. We got new owners. No one's going to talk about that. We're all going to focus on Giannis and get him out of there, and Milwaukee's stupid. The Niners, they whiffed on Trey Lance. The thing that bugs me the most is, remember, Dallas traded for Trey Lance for a fourth-round pick, which was probably dumb, and then they didn't keep him. But the Niners got less criticism for taking him, trading picks to take him that high, than Dallas got for trading him for a fourth-round pick. It's like, because there's so many people in the media, Peter Schrager, that are friends with John Lynch, because he was in the media for a little bit, that we have to be soft with the 49ers. It disgusts me. That's why I'm all over it. And that's call or fold. Good job. All right, going to get an update here. I'd like to say hi to Marco Belletti. Marco, hello, buddy.
Oh, hello, Bart.
Okay, how we feeling? Knicks tomorrow. How we feeling?
Pretty good, which scares the hell out of me, if that makes sense.
Oh, no.
Yeah, look, I do think the Knicks match up well with the Pacers. I do. I feel like this is the matchup that they couldn't have asked for, a better one, when you get this late into the playoffs and all of that. Confidence scares the bejesus out of me. So I'm worried that the Pacers are going to shoot 75% from the field and, you know, 60% from three. And all of a sudden you're looking at 142, 112. And it's like, what the hell just happened?
Are you in tomorrow night?
I am, yes. Unless something else that I'm unaware of happens, yes, I am here.
You know, working nights, you think that it's great because sports are on. But tomorrow's going to be not fun for you, right? You're trying to do your job, but the games on, but it, like, sports is your job, but also it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, pull the curtain back a little bit. Working nights means I watch less sports than I ever did at any point in my lifetime.
Wow.
It's the truth, especially my teams. You can't watch and do the job properly. You can't do both of them at the exact same time. You can try. It's not like I'm in a cave. It's not like I'm not allowed. Like, I worked in a supermarket for 10 years. You know, I had the little transistor radio back when we didn't have phones and, you know, service, and trying to hear the Yankee playoff games behind, like, that sucked. This is not that. The TV's on. But I can't just sit and glue my eyes to the TV. I have too many other things that I have to do, unfortunately, that get in the way. So I'll see it, but not the way I want to.
Yeah, like, I like reacting to the games, but also I'm reacting to the second half because I watched the first half with audio and, you know, of Thunder and Timberwolves tonight. But then the second half, I'm like talking about a game that I kind of watched, you know, I like.
Well, and you said too, like, the audio, like, as much as we can get on commentators, and I don't necessarily need the play-by-play, like, it's TV, I'm watching it, but there are times where you don't know what the hell's going on because you don't have any sound and you're doing other things, and you look up and you're like, what are they doing? Is it a replay? Are they looking? Is somebody hurt? You don't know what it is because they're showing replays, but you know it's been too long in between the action, or there's just a break and you're not sure because no one tells you what's going on, and you start, you know, running through your mind. Is somebody down? Is Brunson, is he not on the floor because he's hurt, or is he just going to the lot? Like, you don't know what the hell's going on. So it's almost like, you know, again, you go through enough emotions in a playoff game. Regular season is fine. And in a playoff game, there's so many emotions that are going through your body. Last thing you need is to be, you know, almost deaf to it because you have no idea what's going on.
I need some sort of, like, there's been already, it's been, what have I been in this shift, a year and a half? And I've seen a lot of horrific losses from my teams while I've been on the air.
Mm.
There was the one night in Brazil where Jordan Love got hurt, and I thought he was going to miss a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened right as I came back from a break. And I'm like, I don't know what level of professionalism I have to get to, but I could not speak. I don't remember what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I know that words were coming out of my mouth because all I was thinking of was, it was alternating thoughts of, you can't have dead air and the Packers season is over. You can't have dead air and the Packers season is over. And I was talking about it, but I think I repeated, like, oh my God, what I don't know what I can't, it's hard is what I'm saying.
You know, I think I did the Yankee eulogy in the playoffs for 10 straight years. I think that was the theme that I had. I'll give you one that where I was kind of like working in New York and I had a couple of different stations that I was responsible for. In game 6 of the ALCS against the Astros, 2019, okay? So the Yankees are down in the 9th inning. DJ LeMahieu homers to tie it. I'm literally on the air as he does it, and I'm watching it. So I'm giving that play-by-play, but I'm trying not to get overly, I mean, I'm pumped, but I'm trying not to be, you know, I'm trying to be a little professional. And I also, because I'm on a little bit of a delay, we're the Yankee home for the radio station, that was going on over our speakers. So the people in front of me who I couldn't hear in my headset because I'm listening to a different station, they're all jumping up and down. But in my eyeballs, all I see is DJ LeMahieu standing in the batter's box. So I have an idea of what is coming next. I'm still on the air and I see everybody's reaction. And I hear the phone ring in the background that I had to do a different drop that I knew I had to be when the game ended. Because now they're tied in the 7th. And if you remember, that was when Jose Altuve walked it off on Aroldis Chapman in the bottom half of that inning to win the series. So I had to do that knowing, watching Altuve stepping to the box, knowing that he already homered before seeing he homered. And I had to be professional and still deliver that. Bart, one of the hardest things in my life that I have ever done.
Hey, the common man may not understand, but that is about as heroic as saving a cat from a tree if you're a firefighter.
Probably better. Say. Probably better.
Better. You really are a hero and deserve some sort of honor or a pat on the back or something, some recognition. And I hope this is enough because it's probably all you're getting.
So, well, at least I waited 6 years to tell that story on the air.
Yeah, good. Hey, Marco, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I could use a hug every once in a while. You know, we're human.
Well, maybe I'll give you one. I think I'm going to try to get out there for Packers-Giants.
Yeah?
I think so.
All right. Okay. You know what? You make it here. Maybe I'll even go to the game.
Oh.
Maybe. I can't put that in stone because, you know, three small children, they alter things.
We're also trying to work on a free ticket angle. So that's what we're up to right now.
Oh, I like that.
That's a big determiner if I'm coming or not. Okay. Thank you. Good luck tomorrow. We'll definitely be talking then. 888-710-4ISN. Here he is on the updates, Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. That is the phone number. I'll say it again, 888-710-4476. Thunder beating the Timberwolves. We'll hear some reaction from that coming up. Let's get to Brent in Myrtle Beach right now as we were talking some football. What's up, Brent?
Hey, bud. Hey, I got to bring some reality to the John Lynch stuff because you hate that guy, and he's really good at his job. He has gotten to a Super Bowl and almost won it with Garoppolo, who's not a franchise quarterback. I know they whiffed on the one draft pick that they did early, the guy who ended up playing for the Cowboys. But he's good about, like, scooting around money and doing stuff like that. And it's not his job to win all the games. So if Shanahan doesn't know the overtime rules or screws it up some other way, I think there's very few things that say good things about you as a general manager that you've gotten to the Super Bowl twice with two different quarterbacks in an era where that really doesn't happen anymore.
I think that I don't hate John Lynch. I do have a problem with John Lynch that he does get a lot of praise and he does not get equal whatever the opposite of praise is when he does make mistakes. I never liked, first of all, Backtracks USA here. I never liked that he got into the Hall of I never liked that he got into the Hall of Fame before Leroy Butler. I never liked that. And I thought that he got in because of these media ties. He worked after he was done, he worked for Fox, he was a commentator. So he's got all these ties with the media.
But there's always markets where, like, that's where the media people went to school. So they're always nice on certain franchises. I know you point that out with Boston, but like anyone with a journalism degree, they're probably a 49ers fan. They're probably not a Rams fan. They're probably not a Raiders fan. And they're going to have soft gloves on that. So I think I'm not going to dog you for that. I think that's very, very valid. And before I get off the phone, though, I do want to say I hope Marco Belletti is completely unprofessional tomorrow night. If something ecstatic happens with his Knicks, I hope he loses his proverbial crap on the air, and I hope he goes fanboy, and I hope it's a wonderful radio minute. But I'll talk to y'all later. Y'all have a good night.
Brent, thanks for the call. I just, for every good thing that you can say that John Lynch did, you can also say that there was a bad thing, but we gave him a pass for Trey Lance. We never talk about Reuben Foster. That was a bad pick 8 years ago. We don't talk about Dante Pettis. We don't talk about taking Jake Moody in the third round. We don't talk about paying Jimmy Garoppolo a bunch of money after five starts. We don't talk about the bad stuff. And then the Brock Purdy thing, that was Kyle Shanahan getting in his ear, saying, hey, why don't we take this guy? So that's why I propose that for one season, could be this one, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch switch jobs, and we'll see what happens. I think they would both be better at the other person's job, and I would like to see that happen. Now, all this being said, the 49ers have the worst schedule coming up in football. They are going to be a playoff team once again. And all of the praise and accolades will be showered on John Lynch just because that's what we do. We love John Lynch. This is a John Lynch house. It's the Bart Winkler Show.